Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask. Say the word and I'll be there. Just ask. You know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. There's no need to pretend I got a hand. Shit
90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Happy work. It's a happy job.
So good. I'm happy to be here because I'm a happy worker. I'm so happy. Happy work. This is my new favorite song. It's so good. Okay. You know how this is such a deep cut? Do you know the Star Kids song? Like, I don't want to go to work today. I don't really, really want to go to work today.
Yes.
This is like, if I can add that song to the Happy Worker, like also in one playlist, I am starting to curate the best playlist for work. And this is the top of the list. Thank you, Tori. Wow. Amos. Tony Amos? Tori. Tony? Tomy. How are you?
This movie is unhinged. Like, it truly, yeah. I knew people had said it was a little off or a little, like, wacky, zany, if you will. I don't know that I was, like, totally prepared for just how off the wall it was. We're talking 1992's Toys. Robin Williams, star is the lead alongside some like really incredible, like we got like Joan Cusack hanging out over here. Robin Wright is making a little appearance. LL freaking Cool J. Hello. Truly like a really wild cast. Jamie Foxx is just hanging out. Sean's dad from Boy Meets World, Blake Clark. He makes a tiny appearance. Now, I would have said this feels like a children's film before I watched it, like based on the poster, right? Yeah. And based on the name. It's really not. And let me tell you, Sarah, I'm going to like kick off the podcast with a hypothesis or like a opinion, I suppose. If they had cut like 20 minutes off this movie and like done a few other things, they easily could have made this kid friendly. And I feel like it's a little bit more successful.
I don't want it to be kid friendly. I like it the way it is. Like, I would say what, I don't know, maybe a little less like war toys. This is, yeah. I mean, I have so many questions, but I don't think that the issue is that it's not kids friendly. Like, I don't want it to be kids friendly. I kind of like the goop and the gag of being like, here's a movie with Robin Williams and it's called Toys. Let's invite all the kids in and terrorize them. That is prime 90s. If you did not grow up in the 90s and get absolutely traumatized by your media, then you didn't have the true 90s experience. Like, we're the kids that grew up on Ren and Stimpy. We're the kids that grew up on freaking Cat Dog and what other scary, Invader Zim. That was a little bit later. Freaking... everything was scary when we were growing up, like, especially for me, a little scaredy cat, like everything was terrifying. This is like another thing. Like, if I watch this, it depends on like what age group. If I watched this as a kid, I would be absolutely terrified of it. If I watched this as my 16-year-old self, that was like, I really like all film that's like very
Edward Scissorhands
and like Scissorhands and like Tim Burton and like everything that's like very like avant-garde, like Dali, you know what I mean? Like, my 16-year-old self would have ate the shit up and been like, this is just art. But no, I don't want it to be for children. You want this to be for children?
It's more so that I know it wasn't like necessarily a successful film. And I don't think it's even the case of like, it wasn't appreciated in its time and it has a cult following now. Like, I don't think any of those things are true. So I think if it wanted to be more successful, I do think there was a way to make it, maybe it's a better way to say like, but for both, right? There are films that do a really good job of like being for kids, but then having some jokes that like go over kids' heads and like are there for the parents. I feel like it could have been one of those movies because it has the ingredients to be a movie like that, right? Like, Robin Williams is obviously was a national treasure. Like, truly, he is a very unique comedian. And so I think he has the ability to like really make kids laugh, but because he's so fast and he does so much improv, I do think he also has the ability to like throw in some jokes just for the adults. So I just think that like there was a way, I think, and maybe I'm trying to make this movie into something that it just isn't,
I think that that's what the issue is. Yeah,
probably. It's just like there was something where, I mean, honestly, my biggest gripe about this movie, Sarah, and I don't think this is going to come as a surprise to literally anyone, is that it is so long. Like, it is fully a good 20 minutes longer than it needs to be.
I knew you were going to say that. And it's only 2 hours long. Like, a long movie is 2.5 hours. A long movie is 3 hours. Like, 2 hours is long for people that have ADHD. A la you. That's
yes, but I would also say that like it's not just that I think, because I'm here for like a movie that is that length if it needs to be. My argument is that this movie doesn't need to be 2 hours. Oh, like, they could cut it down. Yeah,
that's true. You know what I did? This movie is best served with an intermission.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. I watched the first hour yesterday and I watched the second hour today and I had no complaints. Maybe if I did the entire like watch at one time, maybe I would have more to say. But the first hour is world building. It is like very almost Edward Scissorhands in a way, where it's just like everything's a little bit uncanny. Like, it's very manufactured. It's very strange. It's colorful. It's visually interesting. And it's like, we're getting to know all the quirks. And the second hour is something else.
It's more action, I think.
Very like action-y.
I agree with you. And I thought while I was watching it, I'm like, oh, Sarah's going to really like the like weird quirkiness about this movie. It almost gives like you were saying, Edward Scissorhands or even like a Pushing Daisies kind of vibe sometimes.
Wes Anderson almost.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying like I would have ate this shit up in my like film era. Movie buff. Yeah, I'm a movie buff girl.
Yeah, I listen, at the right age, if this movie caught me at the right age, I agree with you. I think I would have been obsessed with it because it's just weird enough. Like,
yes,
there, everything is like a primary color. Everything is beautiful and bright and like interesting to look at and different and like very, very creative, right? Like that is where I will give the movie so much props. Like I find it visually appealing. There are really funny moments that were also like that kind of plays into it. Like there are scenes in this film that like you'd never see in any other movie. Like they're examining fake vomit that is like joke vomit. The walls start to close in on them in the shape of like Tetris pieces and all of them kind of act like this is just totally normal and not at all strange, and it turns out it's because of the lieutenant is like wanting more space to make his, you know, war toys.
That also is a very standout scene for me. Probably because just how it just like keeps closing in on them, and they are very casual about it, which is just like very interesting. But also, yeah, what other movie? I can't think of another movie that literally lets them talk about fake vomit for 10 minutes. It's like,
and of course, it's Robin Williams, like I'm sure improvising the hell out of like a lot of these scenes, which again, couldn't have cast a better person for this specific role, I think, like if this is what they were going for.
Well, I think that it was literally catered for Robin Williams. Like it was written for him because I think that it's interesting because like, I feel like I have zero clue what any of these characters' names are, to be honest with you.
Okay. So that is okay. So I'm glad that you said this because you know, I'm terrible with names. So I didn't know if it was just me, but I also was really struggling. Like let's break down a little bit of the plot for people who didn't rewatch the movie because it is pretty interesting. And we'll kind of talk through the characters as we do that. We have Kenneth Zevo, who is the owner of Zevo Toys.
Oh, dad.
Dad.
This is dad,
dad with the spinny hat, which cracked me up instantly. Yeah. Spinny hat.
Dad, okay, so he is just a toy maker. Like he loves his job. He's a toy maker. And this is where like the succession comes in. Big rich man has to give his business to somebody when he dies. And like he could give it to his son, aka Robin Williams, or his brother, who's this lieutenant. And he doesn't give it to his son because his son's not serious, right?
Yeah, his son is too unserious for this job. He's like, I don't think that, even though he's been like working here his entire life, I don't think he's ready for this. And he's kind of hoping that eventually Leland, who is his younger brother, the general, the lieutenant, that he will eventually pass it down to what's the son's name? Leslie. They'll pass it down to Leslie, who's the
LL Cool J.
No.
That Robin Williams' name. Oh, okay. This is the thing. Like, you know, I love a family tree. And if I was going to be reporting this back to you a la like the same format as North, I would have constructed a full ass family tree.
Yeah.
Okay. So Leland is
Kenneth's brother.
Whose brother?
Kenneth, the owner of Zevo Toys.
Leland. Oh, God.
So we have, we could just call him Lieutenant, honestly, because that's most of the people do. So we have Kenneth Zevo, his father. He has two children. Turns out he really only has one, which we'll get into later.
No, that's still his daughter. Don't be fucking rude, you freaking bitch. How dare you? How dare you?
Not by birth, either way.
How dare you? That is rude as fuck. Okay.
She's a robot.
It doesn't matter. She's still the child. Okay, so Kenneth. I'm writing
Kenneth
this
down. Dad, and he owns the toy Zevo Toys.
Okay, and his brother is Leland.
Leland, Lieutenant Leland.
That's not a fucking name. Okay, what is Robin Williams' name?
Leslie.
That's so confusing. Okay, and then what is Joan Cusack's name?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but they call her Al for like most of the movie. It's like Alsatia or something, but they call her Al.
That's a beautiful name. Okay. And what is Leland's son's name?
Leland's son's name is Patrick. So an easy one.
You know, it would have made more sense if the L's stuck together, but whatever. Okay. So I have made the family tree now.
Okay.
I can speak on this now.
Yeah. So Kenneth is dying. And he says, brother Leland, I would like for you to take over. And I would like for eventually you to pass down my company to Leslie, who also works here. And it turns out that, like, this has been a long thing. Like, Kenneth has known he was dying. And he really wanted his son to succeed. Like, he's been trying to get Leslie to grow up. Including by hiring this woman, Gwen, who's played by Robin Wright, to, like, because he knew she was basically like a perfect match for Leslie. And he thought, like, oh, if he gets in a romantic relationship, like, that will make him mature more. Turns out he doesn't even like really interact with Gwen until after his father has passed.
Yeah. Kenneth is a matchmaker. Probably he's an inventor. So he has a big mind. And mm-hmm. he was like, you know, I invented match.com.
Oh, look at, like, you.
Yeah. He's like, I found the perfect girlfriend. You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember in high school during Valentine's Day, they were like, take this like 100 question quiz and we'll match you up with the number one like compatible person in your high
school.
Yeah.
We did not do that at my school.
Really?
That's crazy.
I didn't participate because my worst nightmare would have been like somebody get me and they'd be like, ew. And then I would have wanted to kill myself. But we definitely did that in school like every year. Okay. So Leslie is not serious. He's unserious.
Unserious. So his dad says, no, you cannot have the company. Now the problem, and now other character of note here is Owen Owens, who is his assistant. Yes, Owen Owens.
He was irrelevant to me, but okay. Owen.
He's worth noting. So Leland is like not into it, right? He's been a military man his whole life. But he's like, Once he gets his hands a little dirty, he brings in his son, Patrick, once he hears about like, there's been secrets being spilled.
Oh, okay. Well, this is very Willy Wonka, right? Like,
yes.
I am sure the IP is raging. That must be a huge issue in the toy business because who knows? They have hundreds of happy workers and who knows who is a little bit unhappy and would spread the secrets. I thought Patrick... all the camouflage bits were so funny. They were so quirky. Mm-hmm. Did you like those?
Yeah, I liked the growth arc that Patrick had, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I liked that he wasn't just fully loyal to his father. And it is kind of funny watching these like very straight-laced men walk into such a wacky factory. Like, it's not... This is not conducive. It's not like effective, right? It's zany and wacky so that the workers are joyful while they're working. So like the conveyor belts look like giant doll heads. Like they're not the most effective machines, but they're fun to look at. So the workers and everyone seems to be like, everyone loves their job. Everyone loves to go to work. Yes. It seems like that Kenneth, the previous owner, he really like worked to and wanted his workers to be as happy and as joyful as he was at his job.
Yeah.
And so he has, you know what he's very good at, Sarah? He knows how to make a good work-life balance and how to make his workers happy.
Yes. This is so important because the thing, like, I think that Kenneth is very ahead of his time. He's not a typical boomer because he's like, you know what? you go to work, but that's not all you do. You're a human being. We're going to have a Christmas party and you're going to have a bonus and we'll give you the hat. You just don't get the hat. You get everything and you get to go home. We get this fun music that we get to play. Everybody is super happy and their benefits are probably so good. The 401k is probably stacked. Like every single worker is happy. Mm-hmm. Amazon could never. Absolutely could never. So he really did something right. And I think that Leslie would have been the right person to pass it down to, even if he was a little bit immature, because yeah. Leland does not share the same vision.
This is where I stand on this. I think the move is you say to Leslie, you are on a 3-year track or a 5-year track. In that time period, here are benchmarks I would like for you to hit.
Yeah.
And Owen, my assistant who knows everything I do on a day-to-day basis, will be here to train you. Also, if Kenneth knew that he was sick and dying, which it seems like he did, I feel like he should have then taken Leslie under his wing and trained him. Did they ever explore in the film like what if Leslie thought that he would be taking over? Because like,
I think that he was like, I don't deserve it type of thing. Like I'm not as good as my dad. And like, I feel like Alopecia or whatever the fuck her name is, Alopecia. I think she was like, you can do it. Like, I believe in you. And he's like, no. I'm just like a side guy, you know, like I'm just a side guy. He's like, he wasn't surprised that wasn't passed down to me because you see this once again, like, I mean, your favorite show, Succession. Mm-hmm. Those kids were battling it out to own whatever the fuck that company
was called. Royco.
I have no clue. They were like, we need to run this company. Leslie's not like that. He's like, you know, I just want to go to work because I'm a happy worker. Happy worker. And that's it. Like, that's all he wants to do. And like, he doesn't believe in himself, you know, because he's just like, a vibes guy. So
yes, he is very much a vibes guy, but you could tell he's cut out of the same cloth as his father. Yes. Like they both are like have inventive minds. And again, perfect casting in Robin Williams to be this like wacky zany kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Every time he said Al, which is his sister's name, Sarah, I only heard the genie because he calls Aladdin Al so much. And they came out like months apart. Like this movie came out very shortly after Aladdin.
Wow. That's interesting. I felt like Robin Williams really got to just do Robin Williams. Like they're like, you know, the script had a script, but then also in the script, they're like, you know, cut to 3 minutes of Robin Williams, like riffing. That's it.
Exactly. Because like, if you're hiring Robin Williams, then you got to let him do him and you know, you're going to get gold. Cause that's just the kind of guy he is.
My favorite joke that he had is honestly the Michael Jackson joke that was like very funny, and that was just like Robin Williams's comedy, honestly. Like it wasn't very like character based, but him whenever he got to like flirt with Gwen was like really when I felt like his true Robin Williamsy came out. So I mean, Leslie was fine, but like talking about the real star of the movie, it 1000% for me was Joan Cusack as Alopecia.
Joan Cusack was so funny.
So funny.
Like the costuming and design on this movie was very impressive. Again, like I think if we're going to give this movie props that it maybe didn't get enough props for, it's the set design and the costuming. Because Al specifically, she likes dolls and she demands that she like try on everything for every doll she makes. So half the time it's very like Moira Rose and her wigs, except they're like plastic. Lego heads, like they're like Lego hair, you know, it's like all hard plastic. But I thought she was so quirky and fun and like very sweet, like very typical Joan Cusack character. Like I adore Joan Cusack and I thought she was really, really good in this.
Yeah, I do too. I think that this is probably I don't know, like one of my favorite roles that I've seen her in, because once again, I just feel like it felt very Joan Cusack to me. And I mean, like all of my favorite lines were of hers. Like one of my favorite lines that she said was just like, she's like, oh God, what was it? Red typically means bad, or if it's a bouillon cube, it means beef. And I was like, how is such an insightful queen? Like, how did you come up with this? And then at the end, she was like, she said to LL Cool J, she's like, hold me. And he's like, I better not. Like, it was just like,
yeah, she's very so sweet. Funny. Like, I loved her. I also really thought she bounced off of Patrick really well, because there's the one moment where she's like, oh, you remind me a lot of my brother. And Patrick's like, we're exact opposites. And she's like, yeah, I know. He's like silly and soft on the outside, but on the inside, he's very strong. And you're the opposite. And I love it in her mind.
That's their thing.
They're alike.
I mean, she really was the star for me by leaps and bounds. Like whenever she was on the screen, I was eating it up. I just thought that she was so funny. And once again, I feel like Joan Cusack really got to shine in this role. And mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, the plot twist that she was a robot gooped and gagged me. I did not anticipate that. I was like, yeah. Holy shit, plot twist. I had no idea.
I wasn't expecting it at all. Yeah. It just never even, like, it was never even a thought in my mind that that was going to happen, especially because we focus so much on her weird eating habits throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Like the white bread with pills smushed into it.
Oh my God. I loved that. She was just like, this is a balanced meal. And she opens it up and it's just like 20 different vitamins, which like, why does a robot need to eat vitamins? I don't think she knows that she's a robot.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I don't know for sure, but that was my assumption.
Leslie knew, like he was not surprised. Like everybody's like, oh, are you shocked? And he's like, no, like my dad made her because I was lonely. Like, of course she's a robot, duh. Like that's normal. But I love like when her head was like over there and then her body was over there. And then Leslie was like, I would hug you, but like your body is like too far away.
Yeah.
it's so funny.
Yeah, I love her asking for an applesauce sandwich. And she's like, okay, I guess today I'll just have a mayonnaise sandwich then.
Was it just like only white foods she would eat?
It seemed kind of like that. Although applesauce isn't white.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. But either way. It was definitely quirky foods. Yeah. Quirky.
Yeah, Patrick only didn't like his foods touching, which I've heard a lot. Like I feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't like their foods touching. And then my response to that is like, how do you get like a Chipotle bowl? All those foods touch.
Yeah, I think, okay, this is so fascinating that you bring this up, because I've actually been thinking this for a while. I watch a lot of TikTok and there's one woman that I follow. And then also I watch YouTubers that like have kids. You know, I'm at the age now where like a lot of the people my age also have kids. So like I just learn things by proxy a lot of the time. And you know, those things called like bento boxes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. For the uninitiated, bento boxes are basically like a lunchbox for children to bring to school. And the way it like sorts and organizes your food is they're sectioned off. And I've seen a lot of like kids plates also being made the same way. I know my brother was kind of like that, where he didn't want his foods to touch and he would like eat them. Like if he gave him a plate and it had like meatloaf, mac and cheese, broccoli, he would eat like all the mac and cheese, then all the meatloaf, then all the broccoli. Like this is a thing. And it's, I feel like it's a very childlike thing. And I'm wondering, and this is not me commenting on anyone's parenting, so just please understand that, but I wonder if there's anything to like presenting a kid with food on a plate where their food is sectioned off, if then when they become an adult, because I don't know that we've really hit that place yet, you know, where that generation is becoming adults, like, will they also feel the same way? Or is it something you kind of grow out of? I don't know. I don't know that I've ever been like that. I don't think I've ever cared.
Is it a guy thing?
I think it's more prevalent in men, let's say.
Yeah, because the only guys, I've known a fair amount of guys that had this like everything can't touch, and they were guys.
And they eat like they're like 10 years old, where it's like, oh, chicken nuggies and pizza.
Yeah. Or like, okay, so like you're saying that like your brother eats like all the mac and cheese, all the stuffing. Does he still
I don't know if he now? I was just going to say, I don't think he does it now, but he is a still a very picky eater and like very much still eats like he's like 10 years old. Like mac and cheese, chicken nuggies. Like he will not eat salad. He doesn't like lettuce. Like that sort of weird thing. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know. He says, Patrick says, it's because of his military upbringing. Because Patrick is like his dad. He's also a military guy. I guess he's like also a spy, as we said. Like he is trained in like covert operations type of thing. So he says like, I just like everything, organized and whatever. Like he likes to make his bed type of thing.
Very typical military guy who like obviously doesn't necessarily fit in with the like wacky zany vibe of the company. And yeah, like I definitely agree with you. Like Leslie should have taken over with some guidance because at their core level, at their base level, Leland and now Leslie, but also Kenneth, they like don't have the same viewpoint on what the like goal of the company is, what the ethos is, like what the vibe is. Leland is like, he sees these kids playing like video games. And then he's like, wait a minute, we don't make war toys. Why not? And that's something he knows all about the military. So it kind of fits perfectly for him. But for Zevo Toys, that's not what they're about. Like specifically, that was something that him and his brother, Kenneth, fought about was war. So he, it really bothers me that obviously Leland is the villain, but it really bothers me that like as soon as his brother is dead and has gifted you this company that is basically his life's work, you go in the exact opposite direction of his wishes. It's like very distasteful.
So I think that because ultimately the big project that Leland is working on is a video game that is in real life letting the kids run like a pilot jet shooter thing.
It's like drones, essentially.
I mean, talk about like prominence
ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time. I mean, like New Jersey is absolutely swarming with drones at this time. And then basically like the drones go around and they like just shoot people in real time. But the kids think that they're playing a video game. They don't realize that they're shooting real people. And Leland is like, you know what? Kids are great at these video games. Why not let them be agents of war in real life? And this is their training. So he's like developing this big project. He is very pro war toy or toy war. pro-war toy. And Leslie is, well, Leslie, it seems a little like, oh, vibes, like whatever people want to do. But Gwen, who is his sweetie, is like, I am very anti-war toy. No war toy. No guns, no bombs, no nothing.
She's and a pacifist.
Leslie is like, I want to fuck you. So I, too, do not like war toys. So he's like, I am going to go and ban the war toys. It is it is cut off. No more money towards the war toys. Right. And Leland is like, okay, buddy, no more war toys. But I am working on this super secret project that you cannot know about, but it has nothing to do with war toys.
And also, I'm going to take up more and more and more space in the factory and not let you see like what I'm doing. He shuts down Al's department. Like, so this is where
Al's department?
She was like the doll department where she like created and tried on all the outfits. And so he and it, on top of that, like, this is what really I think is what gets under Leslie's skin and kind of forces him to act, is he starts laying people off. And this really bothers Leslie because these people have worked for this company. They've had loyalty to Zevo Toys for decades. And he's really bothered by this. And I really loved the scene where Leslie goes to visit his father's like grave. Yes. And it's like a giant elephant statue. And it blows bubbles. And the best part is they buried him. This was his father's like request or a joke or whatever. They buried him with this like laugh barrel thing.
A barrel of laughs.
And it's supposed to like when they're burying him, Leslie's like, oh, don't worry, the batteries will die in like a couple hours.
They never
do. Thing is still going.
Even as it, at the end when it flew off into oblivion, it was still cackling. And he's like, Dad, you won't believe it. Like, they're laying people off, even old so-and-so that's been here forever. And then so he was upset about that. But then also Leland is hiring child workers. And this is, excuse me, this is not Shein and Temu. We do not hire child workers. The conditions must be good. He's like, hey, Leland, why are we hiring children at like 10 cents an hour? And he goes, they're not children. It's just a perspective thing. It's like, you don't think that Mr. Leslie knows what children look like? They are children.
He's practically a child himself. He knows.
And he's like, so, you know what? I can spot a child from a mile away.
So he goes and he infiltrates and he's like asking the kids all these questions. And then he comes upon the sea swine.
Oh, this is crazy because it seems as though like his takeaway of like spying was not the war toys, was like, excuse me, there is something spooky in the water and you must tell me what it is. That was his focus. He was like,
maybe this is why his dad didn't want him to be in charge.
After like he got like thrown into the water, he almost got eaten, he got freed and like got caught, there was like this big board meeting and they're all sitting there and Leslie should be being like, hey, why are there war toys? And the one question that Leslie asks is, what's in the swamp water? It's like, sir,
what about the kids?
That's not what we're focusing on. He's like, what is it? It's something deadly. Tell me what it is. It just sounded like seals. What was in the swamp water?
I think it was something akin to what's it called?
Like a Nessie?
Loch Ness monster sort of thing.
Yeah, it sounded like seals though. He was like, they're deadly. They're deadly. It's in the
problem
swamp.
Is
we're keeping them here. This is terrible.
The problem is they spent all their budget on all the wacky toys and all the zany things and the set pieces. They didn't have any money left for the sea swine. So it almost was like Buffy, where they show you like just a smidgen of it, just so you can imagine what the full thing looks like. And I think they benefited because they're like, well, it's in the water.
It's in the water. Yeah. I don't know. It just sounded like I said, bunch of seals, but apparently he was very bothered by what was, and I was like, why do you care about what's in the swamp water? We have bigger things to care about or worry about, like the giant missiles that you guys are launching via children.
But
apparently we're just like focused on the seals, like that's what's important.
Yeah,
so now we know that something nefarious is happening.
Right. So is this before or after? No. I think this all happens as a result. I can't believe I skipped over this part. The music video with Robin Williams and Joan Cusack.
This was art. Talk about. Okay. So what was the song? Because I know the song.
What song they played? I can't remember. Yeah. They were like, I know they were doing like air guitar and stuff.
Let me look on the soundtrack. A very like 80s song or 90s song, I would guess. But
was it Welcome to the Pleasure Dome?
I have no clue. I don't know. They were singing this song and they're basically like, oh, we are going to stream this to the guys, to the watchers, like the security cameras. And the security cameras were like, hey, we got MTV now. Like, this is amazing.
So funny.
Because they're like, you know what? Good benefits, good entertainment, MTV. So they're watching this. But in reality, it's just like Joan Cusack and
Leslie. Yeah.
And Leslie doing a little dance. And so that they can go. That was very funny.
It's really funny to me that like this is their distraction method. It felt so planned out. Like, but this must just be like an average day for them. You know, like they're just so used to things being like a little wacky and a little offbeat that this is part of their day. And so they're able to kind of sneak in that way. And so he goes back to Gwen's house to like tell her all of this, right? And they do the down and dirty. And these nasty motherfuckers in their little security truck are watching.
Well, more power to them. Okay. They have these little spy robots. And these robots are so cute. Like, there are some robots in this world that are adorable. Number one cutest robot, that fucking Wally bitch.
He's the cutest
fucking robot that ever existed. But these little spies are pretty cute, too. He goes around. He goes, boop, boop, a-choo, I'm going to spy on you. And he's like, I have a video camera watching it get in. And then when the bra falls on the robot and they're like, what's happening? And the robot's like, it's like, what's happening? And then he gets shot out of the window. Man. And then he got eaten by something. I don't know what, but something.
Yeah.
High entertainment. Yeah, they're sick fucks. But honestly, I think it was
Patrick who came in and was like, don't be nasty.
I would watch. You're telling me that if you had a robot, a little robot that can go anywhere, you wouldn't watch some people fucking?
I feel like I would use it for other things.
Like what? What do you spy on? What do you want to spy on?
I don't know.
You don't know what you want to spy
on? Maybe I would want to like see animals in the wild, like so I could like get like cool videos of them. I think that would be fun.
Dude, the last thing that I want in this world is to spy on animals. That is the last thing that I want. There is no fucking animal that I want to see at all. I don't care.
I like animals more than I like people. So
you do. Is that a fact?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a fact.
I don't know if I like animals more than people. I think I like people more. Okay. I think I like robots more than people. I love a robot.
Robots are at the top of your list?
Well, I have said for many, many years that I am fully convinced that robots are taking over. So my stance on robots
are
pro-robot because they will sacrifice me.
Yeah.
No, they won't.
You want to be their diplomat. Diplomat. No, what's the word for the person?
I'll be their bitch, like whatever they want.
That's a word.
Like whatever they want. Because when they come around and like kill everybody, they will let me go because I am very pro robot. Mm-hmm. Same thing with aliens, but I'm afraid of them. Anyway,
so Leland knows that Leslie's been snooping is the thing.
Yeah. I mean, and he's mad, rightfully so, because the thing is that he said, this is my super secret project. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can know about it except for all these people that know about it.
Well, because he's a general. Not you.
Yes.
Can we talk about his glow up?
No, what's the glow up?
Leland's glow up? He goes from like normal military attire to like this brightly colored like camo attire. Really loved the outfit. I was here for it.
So you think he's fabulous?
I thought he looked fabulous. Yeah.
Okay. So it's now a war, right?
Yes.
It's a war. And the thing is that this whole movie is anti-war toys, but it is pro toy wars, which is very confusing because now the toys are battling each other. And this is where they lost me. Like, if you're telling me like this movie needs to cut 20 minutes, this is where.
Yes, thank you so much. We could have cut down on the toy war by at least 10 minutes. At least we could have. It was unnecessary. It was so much. And it was like they were just showing off. They're like, well, we paid for all of these things to be made, so now we don't use them.
Yeah. So basically, the little toys that are like Leslie's toys are now battling the war toys. And now it's a toy war. But that just defeats the whole purpose that Gwen was saying, that like we need to be pacifists and we can't be fighting. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. So now the toys are fighting, and I would assume that the good toys won, but I can't remember.
Yeah. So another big like Robin Williams moment for me was him giving this like pump up speech to all the toys. I thought was very fun. Like, he's like their general.
Yeah, but they don't know. They don't speak English. They're just little toys.
It's mostly just for him, I think.
Okay. He's pumping up himself.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, we're going to put our toys against their war toys. And my question is, because I got a little confused towards the end of the film. I got to be honest. Like, I followed a lot of it. I don't understand what it was that got Patrick so mad at his dad. Like, I know it has something to do with his mom, but like, what happened?
This is the thing. Patrick has mommy issues.
Okay.
Because I think that like his mom died in like childbirth or something. So he's very sensitive about his mom. Okay. And the thing is that Leland cheated on his, well, no, Leland cheated on Patrick. No, Patrick has a girlfriend who's a nurse. And the nurse.
She's the woman from Beethoven. Yes.
The nurse cheated on Patrick while Patrick was away doing war stuff with Leland. And he finds out because he's mid-makeout session with the nurse, and accidentally the nurse calls Leland. So then he's like, what the fuck? Did you cheat? Like, what did you do with my dad? And she was like, oh, I hooked up with him because he was so sad about your mom. And whenever you mention the mom, he's like, don't mention my mom. And he got very triggered because, I don't know, he's very sensitive about his mom. I don't totally understand what it has to do with the mom, but I think it's just like, you can't just, the issue is that like, as soon as you say something about his mom, he just like pops off.
Pissed, yeah.
And like, the nurse mentioned the mom and Leland mentioned the mom. And then Patrick went berserker, but also he was mad because like his girlfriend cheated on him with his dad. So he was, I think like that's really why he was mad at his dad, but also something about his mom.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't follow that part. I did follow the part where like he's about to get with the nurse and, you know, she says his dad's name, which is super awkward.
You seem very confused.
I was confused because at that part, but that was towards the end of the movie, and I was like trying to do something else while I was watching. And so I must have missed that like one little part about the mom. But so now we have toys fighting toys, and there's this whole thing where Leland is gonna like hit Leslie, who's in like this little plane, with like a freaking missile. And he fails to do so, which is great. And he hits his own control panel, which, of course, is what controls all his little military toys.
He got caught. What can I say? Yeah, got caught.
Yeah.
I really, this is kind of like my take with Transformers. Like, I really hate metal fighting metal. Like, it's just
the noise or what?
No, it's just like, because it's an inanimate object fighting an inanimate object, I just lose full interest.
Because there's like no humans or animals or anything involved.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of lost me in this moment. I didn't really care about the toy war or the war toys or the toy war between the war toys and the normal toys. So anyway, basically Leslie wins and Leland, he dies, right? He's dead. He's a dead.
No, he's not dead.
He's not? Okay.
No. So what happens is, right, all of this is happening. Sea Swine attacks Al, who, like you said, it's like head here, body over there.
Oh, yeah.
She's revealed to be a robot.
That was
and
wild.
And then Leslie and Patrick are trying to like help her. And Leland is trying to get the fuck out of there. But the sea swine, that nasty little sea swine, attacks him. And
yeah, that's
they
what
show,
I remembered.
Right, but he's alive at the end of the movie because we see him in a hospital. There's like this little conveyor belt going by with little like army men, and we see him in a hospital bed. So he's fine.
Oh, I forgot about that part. I just remember him getting attacked by the sea swine.
Yeah, no, he lives through it.
Good for him.
Yeah,
good for him. And even, I mean, they say Owl's going to be fine. So
they fix her up a little bit. She is a little wonky when they go to like the memorial, like statue elephant thing. She thinks she's in Paris. So she's a little messed up, but she seems okay. And it seems like they're very friendly with Patrick now, which is very nice because it's nice to have family and that's their cousin, you know?
That's their cousin. It's great that they can have family. And at the end of the day, Leslie and Patrick are so alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the inverse of each other.
Now, okay. I think I like this movie, but I'm also very confused about this movie, and I'm very confused about who this movie was for.
That's my problem with it. Who was this for?
I don't know. I don't know if it was for anybody or is it for everybody. I'm not quite sure, but I feel as though I am the type of person to be like, I live here now. Like, this is my place. I am toys and toys is me. I'm a happy worker, and it's pretty enough for me to be like, yes, this is where I live. I live in toys.
It's definitely like I think if you cut out like 20 minutes of this movie again, I do think I would be, because I agree with you. I thought the first half of the film was so much better than the second half because the world building was fun. Like every time we were seeing a new area of the factory, I was interested, right? Like even when they're when we have the scene of Leslie driving his car and he sees
Gwen
on the bike. That's what I'm saying. Like it's very, like you said, Uncanny Valley, like very like over the top beautiful. Like it feels like oversaturated in a way. I enjoyed that because I love world building. Like I find it fascinating to look at all these things and be like, what were they working on? What are they building? Where they lost me was like more of the action-y stuff that's like just not for me. And because I was like a little lost, like I understand Leslie good, Leland bad. Like I understood that, but it was like a little bit of the minutia. I think I got a little mixed up.
How did you feel about the Leslie and Gwen love story? Were you invested at all?
I was very happy because they gave me vibes of like, Michael Scott and Holly from The Office.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
They match each other's weirdness, like their energies. Like when they're sitting at the lunch table and they're talking to each other with like their lips rolled up and their teeth like this. I was like, oh, this is great. This is perfect.
That is so funny. Like I think that is so on the nose correct. Like it is very like everybody thinks that Leslie is a freak, but Gwen is just freak enough to think he's funny, which most people don't think he's that funny. They just think that he's just like unserious. And I also like that Gwen is like, do you take anything seriously? Like, is anything important to you? And Lacey's like, yes. And then he makes his joke. And then he's like, no, really, like, I really do. And I think that like Kenneth, because he is such a genius, was correct. Like, in a way, like, Leslie was able to step up and use Gwen as an inspiration to step up. But I think that what Kenneth didn't foresee is that, like, Gwen actually appreciates who Leslie is, which I think is important, because when you find a partner, it's not good if you want to change your partner. You know what I mean? You have to love them for them, like, and all of, like, their annoying quirks. Like, yeah, maybe they don't like to hear apple sounds and you can't eat apples in your house, but you still have to love them for that, you know?
Yeah. That's so specific, and I know why. I agree. And I think why it works and, like, why it makes sense is because, okay, we know Kenneth was married, and that's, you know, it was after Leslie's mom died that he built Al to, like, keep him company, all of this stuff, right? And, like, I feel like in Kenneth being married and also Kenneth building Al for Leslie, Leslie is a lot like Kenneth. I feel like he kind of knew what to look for in a partner for Leslie because his son was so much like him, but he knew. We don't know. Like, maybe Kenneth's wife did the same thing for him. Maybe when he met her, he matured. And so maybe that's why he thought Gwen would do this for Leslie. I think it's incredible. I think it's very rare in most media that we see a parent set up their child with someone romantically and have it work out. Like, I just think, like, he knew exactly what it was that Leslie needed in a partner. And it was someone that was going to push him, but also love and accept and appreciate his wackiness, because that's not something you want to take away from someone. Like, you want whoever they're with to embrace that about them, because it's what makes them them. And he wouldn't be with someone who didn't. So I thought they were such a fun couple together. And especially I love their, like, outfits and, like, how a little, like, they're both have weird outfits in the best way.
I was Googling how to find that little, like, plaid beret with the puffball.
Yeah.
It was so cute. And I couldn't find one that was just like it, but I really want it because it was adorable. And I was like, ooh, this would be such a good Christmas hat. Mm-hmm. So cute. Yeah. The set design and the costume design was really, really fun to watch. I think I do like this movie. Like, I don't know if I understood it, but I think I liked it. And
that's the thing. I think it's a vibes movie.
It's only vibes.
I think it's only vibes. I think if you're looking for something more, like, sure, it has, like, an anti-war mentality and, like, a message, which, sure, I agree with that. And also, like, toys should be toys. Like, I know there are, like, gun toys and all that stuff out there, right? Like, and there's a lot of, like, shooting games and stuff like that. But, like, toys should be inherently fun. And I feel like Leland coming in and trying to make these changes was, like, breaking the spirit of that sort of thing.
He does. Wait, what was this? What was the toys place called? Was it called Zevo? I don't even know.
Zevo Toys. Yeah.
Zevo Toys. Yeah. He did not embody Zevo Toys. Okay. Are you not obsessed with the Happy Burgers song like I am? Because
I'm not. I need to listen to it again to see if it is as boppy as you say it is.
I like messaged our friend Todd and I was like, Happy Workers is such a bop. That was my very first take. I'm very upset. Happy Workers. I love it. I heard that Tori Amos refuses to sing it. She hates it, but I love it. So,
okay. I'm listening to it again now. It's very like, yeah, it's giving like Alanis Morissette if she was on drugs and also like told to write a capitalist anthem.
Okay, hold up. We didn't even talk. This is a Christmas movie.
I'm so happy Christmas. You brought this up.
We haven't even said the word Christmas once.
If not for the very first scene, which, by the way, I feel like did a great job because it was beautiful to watch. Like the whole like Nutcracker scene where like these kids are putting on this Christmas play, whatever, whatever. If not for that scene, and the very last scene where we see like Santa handing out toys to kids, this isn't a Christmas movie. Where is Christmas in this?
There is Christmas here and there. It had Christmas spirit.
Oh my God. This wasn't Christmas at all.
It had all the Christmas spirit. In vibes. It's only a vibes movie. If you are not a person that is into the vibes, then this is not the movie for you. But
yeah, I'm
a vibes girl.
Yeah. I don't know. I just I don't think I get it. I appreciated the aesthetics of the movie the most. Mm-hmm. And obviously Robin Williams, because he is incredible. But I would not consider mm-hmm. this a Christmas movie. It didn't have like any of the normal Christmassy stuff besides in the very beginning and in the very end.
There was snow.
Woohoo! Snow.
Oh, man. It did receive Oscar nominations for art direction and costume design. But it won a Razzie Award. No, it was nominated.
It was nominated for a Razzie. I mean, I don't think it was that bad. Like, it wasn't offensive, Sarah. Like, there are movies mm-hmm. where the acting is, like, so bad it's offensive. This was not offensive. Like, I feel like that we had really fun, interesting, different characters. Like, we had Robin Williams and Joan Cusack just, like, chewing the scenery. Like, I don't think this was bad.
Would you ever watch this movie again?
Yeah, not right away. And I'm not as a Christmas film.
Did your husband didn't watch this with you, right?
No, I had to watch it today while he was at work. So he did not partake. Yeah. Okay. I assume Adam didn't watch this because it was 2 hours long and I can't imagine that happening.
I never watch his movies. He doesn't watch movies, but, so I mean, like it's more common that, Will watches movies.
Oh yeah. It's more likely he'd watch something with me. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys watch movies together. That's something that you guys, there was a video game based off of this movie. Let the Toy Wars Begin, released in 1993. I would never play that game.
Is it like, are you in a war? Is that the game? Because that just feels like the exact opposite of what the message of the show of the movie was.
The game is played from an isometric perspective and involves the player as Leslie attempting to destroy the elephant head security cameras in the factory, cafeteria, and warehouse levels to shut down those defenses. When the player gets to the Manhattan model, the game switches to side-scrolling stage in which the player must fly all the way to the General's Control Center, shut down the production of the war toys, and save the good name of Zevo Toys.
Okay.
Yeah. This movie also never made it to Blu-ray. Are you upset about that? And I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. We both watched this movie because we love to pirate.
It's available on YouTube. It was not available on YouTube. I have no idea where anybody would watch this movie if they were not obtaining it by questionable mm-hmm. means. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last time it was released was on DVD in 2001.
Wow. Well, shout out to Brenna and her Plex because she is our overlord and we thank her every day.
We do. When it's down, then I'm out.
We're down. We're down. When it's down, we're down.
We're down.
Yeah, I liked this movie. Like, I think it ended up being better than I expected it to be because, you know, I go on IMDb and its rating is like pretty low.
Well, they're heartless bastards.
They're and harsh, you know, over there.
That yeah. ugly fuck Ebert and Roper or wherever the fuck. They don't know shit.
Tell them. But my biggest gripe is this is not a Christmas movie. Like, I don't know why we were watching this around Christmas time because it's not.
Yeah, you are months older than this movie.
Yes, I am.
This movie was released in 1992. Ooh. And so were you. So
no, not you. Well,
you are a year older than this.
There you go. Yes. I love that we totally just revealed my age on the podcast.
I talk about my age all the time.
I feel like we've always done the game of I'm 30.
Is Robin Williams hot?
No, I don't think so.
I would fuck him.
He's very hairy.
I like that. You don't like that? You do like that.
I like to be with men, and I like when men have hair, but like he is he is exceedingly hairy. Like I'd be a little afraid if he took his shirt off what his back would look like.
I like back hair. I like all hair, to be honest with you.
No, it's a lot. Really? I dated Italian men. It's a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not for me. I don't think he's conventionally attractive. But I feel like his humor is very attractive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's hot, like how I think that Dan from Roseanne is hot. And
John Goodman?
Yeah, and it just boils down to my daddy issues at the end of the day.
Yeah, because John Goodman definitely gives daddy. John Goodman, I will say, I find attractive in that he seems so comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to pick an actor that gives the best hugs, John Goodman feels like he's high on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also looks like a lumberjack, which is my type. So
specifically in Roseanne, he does. Yeah, because he wears plaid a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about Robin White, but no. Robin Wright.
Oh, I was like, what? Robin, I mean, I know her mostly from House of Cards. Mm. Is she in The Princess Bride? Is that her?
Yep.
I thought I recognized her. Yeah, that to me is probably her most iconic role. Mm. I like her. I think she's solid in like everything that I've ever seen her in.
She was a cutie girl.
I mean, very beautiful, of course.
Cutie girl. Anybody else that you want to highlight?
I feel like the people will get mad if we don't mention Michael Gambon, who is the one who plays Leland, because he is famous as Dumbledore.
Which Dumbledore?
Second Dumbledore.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, first Dumbledore died.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Yeah. Yeah. He was Dumbledore from like what, the third movie I think.
Gambon is the one that like freaks out during the Goblet of Fire. That's the one that we make fun of.
Did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire? That's him.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's an artist in his own right. Yeah.
Yes.
Robin White.
He said calmly. As it's said in the book. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is this general guy? Oh my God. I knew I recognized him. Okay.
What's
so
that?
There's old General Zevo. I think he is in the hospital bed next to Leland at the end of the film. He was Saul in While You Were Sleeping, which we just watched.
Oh.
I knew I recognized his face.
Man, I like that Saul.
Me too. And then, of course, Nurse Debbie is also Debbie Mazur, but she was I always remember her from being in Beethoven, the movie about the Saint Bernard. And she calls people sick bastards. And that's how she says it. And I love it so much. Anytime I hear the word bastard, all I think is, you sick bastards.
Yeah, I did like the Beethoven, Beethoven at the before. But that dog is too big for me.
Yeah, I love a big dog. We did get some feedback actually about this movie from Cheryl. Let's see. I'm so excited to hear you talk about this movie. I wish you could have heard the sound that came out of me when I heard you say you were going to watch Toys. I didn't know I could still squeal. It feels like a Christmas present. This is not shaping up to be a great holiday season for me. Mm. Oh, we're so sorry to hear that. So thank you for brightening it up for me. I told my 15-year-old that a podcast I listened to was going to review Toys. And when I told him which podcast, he said he wants to listen to. So I got you a Gen Z listener.
Thank you.
Wow. Look at us.
I love Gen Z. I am a very big advocate.
You're very pro Gen Z.
I'm very, have been, will be.
Mm-hmm. I'm a millennial girly through and through. Show continues. I actually think this holds up pretty well for a movie that's difficult to classify. Oh, yes. Okay, sure. I didn't pre-read this email. I'm just saying. It seemed like it should be a kid movie based on advertising, but it's not. But really, it's also not really an adult movie. It seems like a Christmas movie at the beginning and then at the end. But in the bulk of the movie, it's not really. I guess it's kind of a love story and a coming of age story, but it's not typical of either. You'll see. It's not really a lot of things, but it's something.
That is perfect. It's not really a lot of things, but it is something.
Yes.
Brilliant. That's the best way to put it, Cheryl. That is the best way that I would put it.
She says, maybe it holds up for me because it doesn't really fit anywhere. And it's sort of touching on things that are always a thing. The American military industrial complex, for one. And hey, a Robin Williams movie is always worth a watch. I'm so curious to hear what you all think, because seriously, no one ever talks about this movie. Even if you think it's just bonkers, that's true too. Cheryl left us a review on Podcast Addict. She said she's not sure if she could see it, but she's not an Apple person. Thank you so much, Cheryl. We appreciate the review no matter what. And yeah, this is so fascinating. I hope she's happy that we mostly enjoyed it. Like, I think my qualms are pretty much exactly what she wrote in her email, which is like, I don't think it performed well because I don't really know where to slot it. Like, if it was rated PG, Sarah, I think maybe it even performs better, because I'm pretty sure it's PG-13. And this feels like, based on the poster alone, it feels like it should be something you could bring a kid to see.
No, I mean, like, I think it's because it's named Toys and it has Robin Williams with it. But also, Robin Williams always had a racier sense of humor. So I just disagree with it. I think that the issue is that, like, it doesn't like fit a mold. So people just don't know what to do with it. It confuses people. But also, like, that's like the surrealism aspect of it that I feel as though, like, it's not meant to be for the average consumer. It is supposed to be for somebody that is more, it reminds me of like more of the like avant-garde films of earlier days. Back when I was a film major, I knew so many of those names that I can't possibly know now. But I just like don't think it's for like the average consumer. And a lot of people probably go into this movie thinking it's going to be one thing and it's not. And I think that that's probably where it gets docked. But I think that if you are just in it for the vibes, then I think that it does a good job of that. And I don't think that we're supposed to understand all of it, but we can understand some of it. And I especially think that Joan Cusack is a star. And
yeah.
The biggest plot twist that I have ever seen in my life was when she was a robot. And the best song that I've ever heard of is Happy Workers. And I will forever be a happy worker because of this movie.
Yeah. And I think, like, truly spending 2 hours watching Robin Williams on my screen is never going to be, like, not well spent. You know what I mean? No. Like, I love him and I will watch anything he's in. I'll at least give it a shot.
Yeah. I think that we should try to watch every single 90s Robin Williams movie that there is.
We might be closest with him. Of all the 90s actors, I feel like we've seen a lot of stuff he's in.
We still have to do Jack. We still have to do what is like Patch Adams. Like, there's a lot of work to be done, but
yeah,
we will lots get there.
Yeah, eventually we'll get there.
All of us know how to spell, pronounce Jumanji correctly.
All of us know how to say Jumanji.
Jumanji.
But yeah, I think this was a really fun time. And even though it wasn't very Christmassy, in my opinion, it was still a really enjoyable movie to watch. And yeah, I don't know what we're doing for July bonus content yet. Maybe we'll do the what is it called? What did we? I don't remember what we called it, where it's like one of us is lazy and the other one does all the work. We should name it.
Yeah, perfect. We'll figure it out. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
So this year is kind of more of the same. I don't know that my routine has really changed from year to year in the past couple of years, but usually Christmas Eve, we go to my brother's and do dinner. And then Christmas Day, we go over to my parents' house. We'll usually have like breakfast and like dinner over there. Will's family lives very far away, so we unfortunately don't see them on Christmas Day. But yeah, that's usually, it's usually pretty quiet, pretty mellow. Do you guys have any fun plans?
We are going to to Bloomington and spending a few days down there with his family, with Adam's family. His brother and our sister-in-law don't get in until later on Christmas. Unfortunately, they have to drive up. And so we're just going to wait for them and just like have some family time. There's like a family party on that Thursday. Just like a pretty chill Christmas. I'm hoping to get some reading in. I would love to read a couple of books before the end of the year to beat my Goodreads reading goal. You won't get me this year, Goodreads. You won't get me this year. I'm getting you. So that's my goal. And then besides that, I don't know. I think we might be going to like some sort of church like thing. To watch the churches do their thing.
To watch the churches?
Can you tell I'm like an entire red wine glass?
down? I thought you were just Jewish and didn't know what they did at churches.
No.
Well, that sounds fun. I mean, listen, the holidays are lovely. I hope everyone has like a very safe and happy holidays with whoever you want to celebrate with. And that mostly it's just relaxing because I think we all deserve a little bit of R&R at the end of the year and like treat yourself. I think there's nothing wrong with like treating yourself around the holidays. I feel like there is like I used to get shamed when I was younger about like I would go out on Black Friday and like buy myself something and everybody be like, Christmas is coming up. Why are you buying that for yourself? And it's like, I can treat myself too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I totally think that you should treat yourself on the Christmas holidays. I love presents, but I'm also a reformed shopaholic. So we are not shopping that much, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think so for this year, Will and I, because we renovated our basement, we're like taking it easy because it was expensive. And so we're mostly just doing, we love doing Advent because we get to give presents to each other all month long. And we do little things like, you know, little pieces of candy or like sometimes it's occasionally like something a little bigger. And then we're making each other gifts or like I didn't say he had because he's not super crafty. So I told him like, make something or buy something made, like, you know, do whatever. It doesn't have to be big though, something small. So I'm making him something and he's making me something and that will be about it for us.
Very nice. Yeah. Adam's getting a Whirlwind Podcast, like LED light up sign for his office.
That's so cool.
It will be very cool to see. And I got to go on a little like Shein shopping extravaganza. So I'm getting like a bunch of earrings and some purses made by some poor sad children.
Oh my god.
Joking. We hate fast fashion. I hate it. It's so bad. But also I'm getting four purses and like 20 pairs of earrings. And also today I bought my tomatoes for my tomato garden. Remember when I used to have so many tomatoes for my tomato garden?
Yes.
Yeah. Why are you confused?
Because I'm trying to remember if you had the raised flower bed in where you are now.
No, not now.
It was in Jersey, right?
It's in Jersey because my ex still has it.
We're gonna have to buy a new one. That's what I was gonna ask. So you're gonna get a new raised garden bed and you had to order the tomatoes now?
Well, December, it's gonna ship in May. But I want to get my full reign of every single tomato breed that I want. So I pre-ordered.
How many different tomato varieties are you getting?
34. No, I don't know. I just made that up.
I was like, holy fuck, where are all these tomatoes going?
No, I ordered.
It's going to be fucking raining tomatoes at your house.
Well, I ordered like 12 plants, but don't tell Adam because that's a lot of plants.
Well, he's going to need to make a. Are you going to make a raised flower bed or are you going to like buy another one like what you had before?
Yeah, it was something like I had before. So yeah.
Well, and that's then, nice.
Yeah. I'm gonna have so many tomatoes. And I have to make Bill, I have to like grow cucumbers for him, but I'm very excited. I'm excited to get back into my gardening era because I took off last year. So
fair enough. And now you have like a more like you're putting roots down where you are. So haha. Yeah. You could put some plant roots down too.
Perfect. And that is our holiday coverage.
There you go. Yes, this is our holiday coverage. Of course, we'll be back in January with some other bonus content. But in the meantime, if you're a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan or Felicity fan, go check out those other podcasts we have. Of course, we're also on YouTube now. So come find us. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me on YouTube. And you can watch our lovely little faces. And yeah, we hope you have a safe and lovely holiday. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all of your support this year. We're super excited to kick off 2025 with more podcasts. So we hope you have a good one. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.